Lord, we want to thank you that you are faithful, that you are good. And we want to see this world full of your goodness and faithfulness. And we trust you. And we trust that you are for us and that you are good to us. And that is our faith. And as we come to your word, we ask that you will speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. We're beginning this series, Making Life Count in a Pandemic, and I want to look at making work count in a pandemic. We're using that phrase, the only thing that counts, from Galatians, Paul says, is faith expressing itself through love. And when it comes to work, I want to think, what does that look like in work? We often ask our children, what do they want to be when they grow up? What is it you want to be? And we have aspirations for our children. And on your worksheet, children, you may want to think about some of the careers you may want to be looking for. But I hope at the end of this sermon, you will see on the worksheet I produced for the children that what our aspirations for our children is not what they should do, but what should they be, that they should be gracious, that they should be generous. Because ultimately, that's what we're going to learn about work, is work should give us the opportunity to be what God wants us to be like him and be full of grace and truth, to be generous. That's God's desire for us. That's his aspiration for us. And as we look at work, I hope that will be our aspiration for our children and our children's children, that what they will become is that they'll become gracious. They'll become generous. How do I get to that? Well, it's the way we look at the world. I don't know how you see the world at the moment. I don't know how you view the world. I don't know what spectacles that you are seeing the world through. There's a lovely Hillsong song which says, I see the world in colour. I see the world in gospel. I see the world in grace. And that's our hope, that we will see the world through the spectacle of grace. As C.S. Lewis says, I believe in the gospel like the sun, not just that it enables me to see, but I can see everything through it. And the gospel helps us to see everything. And we should view everything through the glasses, the goggles of grace. That's what it means to see the only thing that counts is faith, that is how we receive grace, expressing it through love. That's how we should see the world. The problem is, we don't often see that world through grace. I don't know about you, but many of us haven't changed from children. Having raised three children, I wonder what you think is the most common phrase that your children ever said growing up. I think for me, it is obvious. The phrase that they'll often say again and again and again is, it's not fair. It's not fair. It's not fair. And if I'm honest, I think I still use the goggles of fairness in which I see the world. And as I'm challenged by the gospel of grace, as I'm challenged by the gospel, I see that actually I'm often seeing life through not the gospel of grace, but through fairness. And therefore, I have a distorted view of the world. And I have a distorted view of work and what work is. And I know I often see I still see through these goggles of it's not fair, because one of the hardest passages that I really struggle with in the Bible, there are lots of passages people struggle with in the Bible, things that don't quite make sense or they don't understand. But shall I tell you, there is one Bible story that I really struggle with. And it's not because I don't understand it, it's because I do understand it. And as I read it, I still have in my mind as I read this story, that's not fair. That's not right. And I suddenly realize that I'm still looking through the world through fairness and rightness I'm still looking through the world, through that life can be earned, life can be deserved. Because it's this passage that really challenges me, because I still don't get it. I'm going to read it to you now, and I wonder whether you get it, or whether you receive it, or whether, like me, you cry, it's not fair. And it's actually got to do with work as well on this day. It's found in Matthew chapter 20. Let me read it to you. Matthew chapter 20. It's a parable of Jesus. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them to his vineyard. About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard and I'll pay whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about noon and about 3 in the afternoon and did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to the foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came and each received a denarius. So those who came who were hired first, they expected to receive more, but each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These who were hired last worked only 1 hour," they said, "and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them, "I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. Like me, do you not scream, "That's not fair"? That's not fair. Because that's what we are brought up to. Those who work more should get more. That's how we understand work. That's how we see life, and we view life through this goggles of fairness, or the Bible would say legalism, or wages, or what we deserve. That's how we view life. The problem is that when we understand the gospel, when we understand the Bible, the message of the Bible is that if we ask for what we deserve, God might give it to us. Because the Bible says we all deserve nothing. That passage in Romans, we've all made a mess of life. We've all sinned. The wages we deserve is death and judgment. But let's view the world through the glasses of grace. Let's change the way we look at the world. And as we look at this passage, it challenges us to do that. Because the first thing I want to look at is these three questions that the landowner asked them. Helps us understand how we are seeing the world through fairness and legalism and not through grace. The first thing to say about this question is it is not about injustice. We read in verse 13, the landowner said, I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? They were being treated fairly. This is not about injustice. Of course, as Christians, we fight against injustice. But this is not about injustice. They agreed a denarius was a fair wage for a day's work. And that's what they had been promised. So this parable is not about injustice. It's about knowing to, that we can be received for what is promised. And if the landowner is God, we need to learn that God can be trusted and is faithful to keep his promises. And the first thing we learn about grace is that God is faithful and can keep his promises. God chose them and he provided for them and he gave them their denarius. And we need to know that as we look through fairness, it's easy to look around and see what is right or wrong, as we can easy to compare with others, whether that's work or in other situations. But actually, all we need to do is need to compare ourselves to God's faithfulness and his promises. And we need to learn that life is a gift, that God is fair, that God's promises are true, that he promises and fulfills them to us. And none of us get what we deserve. We receive God's grace, his goodness, his provision, that God is faithful and can be trusted and can be taken at his word. And as we come in a pandemic, let us realize that it is God who is faithful, God who is trusted, God who provides for us. This is the danger in wealth we read in Deuteronomy chapter 8, that we don't realize that God provides, that God gives generously. In Deuteronomy 8 verse 17, let me read it to you. We read this, but remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. Because he just warned them that if they have too much, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God. We need to remember God's promises and his faithfulness and his provision and know that God is faithful. And during this pandemic, whatever your work situation is, I want to remind you that it is God who provides, that God who is true to his word, God, his love and his mercy will follow you. He provides and you can trust his promises. Don't look around at how God is fulfilling his promises to others. Know that God is faithful to you and will fulfill his promises. God is gracious. We live in a world of gospel where God is faithful and true to his promises. The second question we learn from this parable is he asked them a second question. Not only is it not fair, he then says, take your denarius and go. I want to give the one who was hired the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do with what I want with my own money? The second thing we learn about grace is God is faithful and his promises are true. But secondly, God is free to bless and do whatever he wants. It is not for us to decide how God gives out his blessing. It is God. My favorite theologian you know is Karl Barth, and he describes God. God is the one who loves in freedom. God is a God of love and faithfulness, and he loves in freedom, and he's free to bless. He's free to pour out his blessing. And he's free to do whatever he wants with his resources and blessings. Let us not put God in a box. Let's not tell God how he needs to behave. God is free in love and he wants to love us all. And he does love us all and he wants to bless us and he wants to bless us. and how he blesses us is up to him, in his freedom, in his goodness, in his love. And the third question he asks, or are you envious because I am generous? This is the gospel of grace. God is generous. He is giving. That none of us get what we deserve, that we get the blessing, we get the gift of God. And he is generous towards us. He is gracious to us. And God has the right to be generous and gracious because that's who he is. And we are recipients of his generosity and his grace. And that's what we learn from this parable. We need to see it through not the eyes and glasses of fairness, but the eyes and glasses of God's grace. God's grace. And let's not come looking for fairness or what we deserve or legalism. Let's come relying on grace that God is true to his promises. That God is free to love and bless as he chooses, and that God is generous. That's what we believe. That's the gospel. And do I see the world through gospel, or do I see it through legalism or what I deserve? So what does this say about how we should see work, our work? Can I first say the first thing I think it should tell us is that work is a gift. It's not something that is earned or deserved, but work is a gift. And whatever work we have, it is a gift of God, a gift that God uses to provide for us and to bless us. It is a gift. Do you see work as gift, or do you see it as something you deserve, or as legalism? Or as wages? Work is a gift. The second thing, and that's how God is faithful to us in providing work. The second thing we learn is don't compare ourselves with others. It's easy in work to compare ourselves with others, what other people are working, what other people are doing, what other people are earning. But we don't compare because we rely on God to provide for us. And we trust in his provision and his goodness. We can therefore rejoice in the grace of God to others. We should be able to rejoice in God's blessing that we see him pour out into others' lives because it's God's grace. And we don't need to compare. We don't need to feel bad. We can rejoice in God's grace and goodness to others. And it means that we can be generous and should be generous with what we receive. Whatever blessings we receive from God, however God is faithful to his promise to us, however he provides, let us be those who share the grace and generosity of God and use whatever we've received to be generous and bless others. That's how we view work through grace, knowing that it's God who provides, not our employee, knowing that we don't compare, but we can rejoice in God's grace to others. And whatever we receive from God, we need to be generous. Be generous and have the spirit of generosity. So what does that look like? What does that look like? And I want to be a bit practical here for us to reflect, to help us think, how do we view work through these glasses, these goggles of grace? For those of our children and young people, or those looking for work, what does it mean that work is a gift? It's a gift of God. Well, it means those looking for work, that we encourage them to seek God for work. We encourage them to realize that God gives us the desires of our hearts, the psalmist tells us. Therefore, God created us. He knows us. He knows the shape that we are. And he knows the best work for us. He knows where we fit and how we fit. And the work he chooses for us is a gift. And it's not about comparing the different types of work or following others. It's seeing what God has made me and gifted me and what he wants to give me, because he knows my heart. He knows where I fit. And there's not one shape that fits all. And for our children, we encourage them to recognize that God's grace in their lives, their gifts, their shape, who he's made them to be, is a gift of God. And he will fulfill that for them and provide for them in the gift of work that he has for them. What about for those out of work? Those who aren't in work? Well, we use that term very loosely, because I believe the Bible teaches us that we are all in work. It's just whether we're paid or not. God gifts us and shapes us and gives us gifts and natural and supernatural gifts to work for him, to use for him. And so therefore, we're called to work, whether we're paid for it, whether we're employed to do it or not. We see that in the example when Paul teaches in his day about the widows in 1 Timothy chapter 5. If we can just turn to that, 1 Timothy chapter 5, we read this about how the provision for the widows should be. And we read this. We read, anyone, verse 8, who does not provide for their relatives and especially for their own household has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. No widow may be put on the list of widows unless she is over 60, has been faithful to her husband, and is well known for her good deeds, such as bringing up children, showing hospitality, washing the feet of the Lord's people, helping those in trouble, and devoting herself to all kinds of good deeds. What's that saying in their context of the widows, those who didn't have work? What was Paul encouraging them? He was encouraging those who didn't have work to work, these widows to work, to serve the needs of others, to help those in trouble, to pray, to give themselves to God, to work in the church. God has called us all to use whatever energy and resources we have for him. And so maybe we don't have work at the moment, employment, but we're still to know that God calls us to work, whether that's voluntary, whether that's for the church, whether that's supporting our families, whether that's supporting others. And we trust God to provide. Trust that God is the one who will meet our needs. And we trust him. How does God provide? Well, in Timothy, it was by their own families. We're to support our own families. It was by the church. The church is there to support those in need. And we're blessed that we live in a society that looks after the poor and the weak and the vulnerable and those who don't have work. But these are all God's provision. However he provides, it is him who provides, and we trust him, and we continue to look to work and serve him, whatever gift and capacity, however we can do that. And as a church, we need to think how we support those who perhaps don't have an income. We do that as a church, as you'll be looking at church meeting on Mondays. We look at the budget of how you support me in my role and Susie and Rhonda. But also we have a pastoral fund, and it's about us seeing how we can support as a church for those who need, and particularly as we come out of this pandemic and continue to go through this. We do it through the work of CAP, but there are other ways we want to support people as a church, knowing that God provides through our families, through our church families, through our government. But ultimately, it is God who provides, and sometimes in supernatural ways. What about those who are unhappy at work? How do you see work as a gift when work is stressful or you're unhappy or there's conflict at work? How do we deal with work then? How do we see it through the glasses of grace? Well, we need to ask ourselves the questions. Because Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 7:17 that people should retain the position they find themselves when they come to faith. And it was great to hear the stories of Neil and John about how they came to faith once they had their careers. That actually we need to be happy and content to see that God has provided even before we came to know him. We need to think about how are we viewing our work? Are we struggling with work because we're looking at it for selfish ambition? We're comparing with others. We think we deserve more. We're using the goggles of fairness at work, and it's making us really stressed and difficult at work. It's making us become workaholics. I loved what Nick said about having to draw back and to draw a line to say that God doesn't want us to be totally dependent on work, to find our identity in work. That we can step back and we can draw the line. And we need to do that. Is our stress at work because we're viewing it because we want the selfish ambition? We want to progress. We think if we work harder, we will deserve more. And maybe we just need to change the way we view our work. It may be that in doing that, we've outdone the Peter principle, which is known that people go beyond their ability. They get promoted beyond what they can cope with, because their shape doesn't fit anymore. They've excelled in a particular area and then they've been promoted and their shape doesn't fit that. And sometimes we have to ask those difficult questions to say, have I been promoted above what I can manage and cope with? Is it therefore wrong to look for promotion and other jobs and opportunities? Definitely not. But it's the way we view that. It's the way we see it. Do we see that through grace? Do we see it as God providing other opportunities, other ways to bless us, other ways to fulfill us? And do we see it through the eyes of God's grace, God's gift, what God has for us, and how it will be a blessing to us? There are some of the ways that we can begin to take off the goggles of fairness and put on the gospels of grace to see the world through that God has given us and he gives us work. And we need to see it through grace and see it through God's provision. And sometimes we need to learn from Onesimus. We know him where Paul wrote to Philemon about to accept him back because he'd run away. He'd taken off his glasses of grace and put on his fairness glasses. And he couldn't cope. But Paul writes to Philemon to accept him back as a brother, both the employee and the employed, to have grace, to see our work and our colleagues and our bosses and our employees through the glasses of grace, of generosity, of forgiveness. Because none of us deserve what we get. God is gracious and gifts us. How do you look at your work or your not work or your voluntary work or your parenting? Do you see it as a gift? Do you see it through grace? The second thing we learn very quickly is that we need to see work not just as a gift, but as service. We hear it, see in this parable, God called them to work in the vineyard. And we know that that was the idea of God's vineyard in growing his kingdom. And this parable is to do with the sinners being welcomed in and the Gentiles being welcomed in at the last hour. This is part of what that parable is. It's about God's kingdom being extended. And the second thing we need to see our area of work, whether that's voluntary, whether that's paid, whatever as work, we need to see it as service to God. In Ephesians 6 verse 7, Paul encourages both the slave owners and the slave, the employed and the employees, to do it all for the glory of God, not just because we're seen, not just because what's expected of us. We do our work for the glory of God, who sees us, and we serve him in our work. And that's about how we work, and that's about why we work, and that's about how we use our work for him. And so therefore, if we're serving God through our work, I think three areas we need to think about. One is relationships. How do you see your relationships at work? Whether you're the boss or you're the employee, whether you're at the top of the company or the bottom of the company or in the middle of the company. How do you see your relationships? Because God wants you to serve him in the way you deal in your relationships. And are you dealing in those relationships at work with grace, through the eyes of grace? Are you being gracious to those who work under you? Are you helping and supporting? Or are you overseeing and domineering? Or those that you look up to, are you trying to cheat the system to get the most out of it? Are you sneaking off to do as little as possible? Or are you being true and faithful and honest in what you do? It's about our relationships at work. And we serve God in being Christ in our relationships at work. Because it's not just about God's provision for you in work. It's about God using where he's placed. He's chose to place you where he has. And it's about your relationships that you're developing and growing. And he wants you to extend the kingdom of God where you work, in the way you are dealing in your relationships. It's secondly about your responsibilities. How can you use your work responsibilities for the glory of God? How do you see it? We've been challenged over this pandemic to actually see some of the different importance roles, the key workers we talk about. And that key workers roles, we first thought, well, that's just the NHS, but we see it expand, and key workers include so many people. Because that's what's needed. We have responsibility, and God has given us responsibility in our work to use our work for the good of others. And we need to see our responsibility for God in the jobs that we do. Again, it was great to hear about Nick, about using geography to share something of the heart of God. That's not just true about a teacher of geography. God wants to show you how he can use you in your responsibility, how he sees you in extending and building and working his kingdom in what you do. And you see it through grace, as God's placed you there and gift to you. And finally, we need to see God work as how we use our relationship to our rewards. In terms of what rewards we get from our work. What do we earn? What money blessing? What other privileges do we have? What are the rewards of the work we earn? And how do you serve God with those? Do you think it's yours? Do you think you've earned it? Or do you think it's a gift that God has given you, with the salary he's given you, with the opportunities he's given you, with the privileges he's given you? Do you think you've earned it? Do you see it through faith, you've deserved it? Or do you see it through grace as a gift? And therefore you can be generous, you can be gracious, and you can give. Give to the church, give to the work of the Lord, give to the poor, use your position, be generous. Do you see work as a gift? Do you see work as service? Because that's what this parable is teaching. As we look at the world through grace, that everything we have comes from God's hands. And I'm not going to look through fairness. I'm going to look through grace, that God is good and faithful to his promises. I don't get what I deserve, because if I did that, I would be in trouble. I get God's grace, and God is free to bless, free to love in the way he chooses, and he is forever generous. Generous with me, generous with others, and I rejoice with his generosity to me, and I rejoice with his generosity to you. I'm not going to compare because I'm not God. I rely on his grace. And if you do that, what does the last verse of this parable Jesus says? Uses it to say, so the last will be first and the first will be last. What does that mean? Don't really know if we're honest. It's not a maths question. It's not trying to work out who's going to be first or last because that misses the whole point. Surely it means if you view life as a gift, if you view life that we don't deserve anything from the hand of God, but you view life that you deserve nothing, but everything you receive as grace with thanksgiving. You may have considered yourself last, but with what God has given you, you are first. That's the goggles of grace. You deserve nothing, but I rejoice in God's goodness and what he's given me, what he's blessed with me. And I'm the first, and I'm a winner. Or do you view life as if you should be first, that you have the right to be first because you've worked hard, you've studied hard, you've earned what where you're at? That's the life of viewing the eyes of fairness, of legalism. And actually, you may actually end up getting what you do deserve, because the wages of sin is death. We all deserve nothing. And if you think you deserve, if you think you've earned the right to be where you are sitting and standing now, you're going to be last. You're going to miss out. You're not going to enjoy this life because you're looking through the glasses of fairness. You also miss out on eternal life. Please, where you are today is a gift of God, is the grace of God, is the eternal life of God, is the living hope that isn't fulfilled just in this life. Whatever lot and grace I've received in this life, there is so much more to come. But I'm going to live in grace. I'm going to see the world in color. I'm going to see it in life. I'm going to see it in gospel. I'm going to see it in grace. And I'm going to be a person of generosity, like my Heavenly Father. I'm going to be generous. How do you see work? What is God saying to you? Perhaps can you just change your glasses? Can you take off your glasses of fairness? Can you throw them away? Can you get some new spectacles and see the world through grace? God's love to you. He chose to freely love you and bless you with eternal life. Revel in his goodness. Don't compare with others. Just come to him and know his goodness, his everlasting life that you can receive. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, free us from the need to compare, from the need to earn, the need to show ourselves to be rightful Christians, the need to earn your approval, the need to be seen to be the best Christians, the most effective parents, the need to be seen to have earned our right. Forgive us from the need when we come to you and say, look what we've done for you, Lord. Surely we've earned more. Take away our glasses of legalism and earning your favor. And may we come to gospel. May we come to grace. And may we come with the attitude of thanksgiving, the attitude of gratitude, the attitude to receive all your blessings with an open heart with thanksgiving. To know that we deserve nothing, but we've received everything in Christ. And we view the world through grace, in colour, in life, in gospel. And therefore we rejoice. Lord, those struggling with work now, Lord, just speak to them. Show them what you're asking of them in their work situation. And may you speak promises to them, and may you be faithful to them, that they may come and see work as a gift and as a service for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. When I survey the wondrous cross, we're going to close with this lovely hymn. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my work, my soul, my all. This is viewing through the gospel of grace. In the light of God's eternal life, all is his, all comes from him and is for him and through him. That's what the cross shows. So when you come to those verses, whatever your work is, whether you're voluntary, whether it's prayer, whether it's raising a family, whether it's paid, that's what God has given you. And as you sing, were the whole realm of nature mine, God hasn't given you the whole realm of nature, but he's given you your family, he's given you your work, he's given you your homes, he's given you all that you're sitting and have received from his hand. Are you really, truly be able to sing, this is an offering far too small? Can you offer it as an offering in light of grace? Make this our prayer as we draw our service to a close. When I survey. Well, thank you for joining with us. I just leave you with this thought. There were two G's in that parable, and the two G's help you understand whether you are seeing the world through the goggles of fairness or grace. There were those who worked the whole day and they grumbled. If you're grumbling, maybe you've got the wrong glasses on. But the landowner was generous. And if you're generous with your money, your time, your resources, perhaps you are wearing the goggles of grace because you've received the generosity of God so you can be generous to others. So go into this week and change your attitude from grumbling to gratitude. And be generous to all those that you are able to, and especially the family of God.